Welcome to the seventh Supercoach Coach Preseason Podcast. This week, I'm joined, of course, again by FB Donkey.
Footy's almost here.
Pretty exciting time, just finalising the last few XVYs in our squads. It's time to talk. We did forecast last week that we're going to talk about rookies and the four teams that are actually playing this weekend, Adelaide, Essendon, West Coast and Fremantle. But we've changed up the structure slightly and instead we're going to do those four teams that are playing this weekend. But we're going to look at the midfielders because we realised that probably more beneficial to do the rookies next week. And also a lot of the midfielders that we're looking at actually come from those four teams. So we're going to start off with the four teams that are playing this weekend. We've got no time to waste because it's going to be a rather big show. So starting with Taylor Walker from Adelaide, Mark. He's got quite a soft draw as Adelaide do to start the season, which is quite surprising because they had a rather soft draw last year too, but a particularly soft start to the year for the Adelaide Football Club. And that's why we're looking at Taylor Walker, I think. He's a key position forward, which we don't quite like. But with a soft draw, you do actually quite like the key position forwards because that's where they get their big points from.
Just too much uncertainty for me. The fact that Tippett's gone, you're not quite sure how that's going to play out at Adelaide. I'm not quite sure whether they're top four material this year. I see him sliding maybe a slightly bit, and he might struggle with a bit of the extra attention. Inconsistent as well, as you find these key forwards to be, could definitely come out and play some huge games and definitely looks like the sort of player that will win Adelaide a couple of games this year, but just better options out there from my perspective.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there, Mark. I'm not a big fan of picking those key position forwards. Now, Matthew Wright, also from Adelaide, listed both as a midfielder and as a forward, priced at 475k and on the cusp of a breakout maybe.
In his third year, but I think he's like 22 or so because he started a bit late after having an injury post-juniors. Had really racked him up as a junior, so has shown a huge scoring potential before. Had a pretty decent preseason, but he was also had some tagging roles in the last couple of games of the NABs. So he did that a bit last year, which restricted his scoring. Coming off an 85 average, wouldn't surprise me to see him bump that up by as much as 10 points. If Adelaide didn't have such a strong midfield and he wasn't going to be given the tagging role, I think he'd be a better selection. But look, you could do worse, but there's probably a few too many concerns on him as well.
Yeah, I think we're getting to the forwards next week, but for mine, just better options close to that price range, or if not, just a little bit more. Probably a no for me as well, Mark. Now, next player on our run sheet is Matthew Pavlich from Frio. He had an absolutely ripping season last year. Average, I think, 110, 111, something like that. Now priced at a super premium 600k. He hasn't had the best of preseasons, though, has he, Mark?
No, missed a large chunk of the preseason through injury. Otherwise, he looked like a really good pick, especially with the way he finished last year. When Fremantle were going well, Pav was really playing some good footy. And as we predicted in the podcast at the start of last year, that return to the forward line is actually good for Pav. And he showed that last year. But at that price, he's a massive premium on him. You'd think he'd be able to pick him up a little bit cheaper at some point.
Lacroix and Kennedy, both returning from injury, both play for West Coast. And West Coast too, they actually don't have too bad a start to the year. The whole first half looks pretty rosy compared to some of the other top eight teams.
Yeah, they do have a good start to the year, especially those first 6 or so weeks, which means that there's a really good chance that one of these guys could kick a few goals and get off to quite a good start. Lacroix, I think it was in one of the Lightning games, he kicked three and he looked really good, but was under 1 point per minute for the rest of the preseason or the preseason as a whole. So that's a little bit worrying for me. And I don't see him being a keeper. I see him as being someone that you're probably going to have to trade out at some point, especially now that we've only got six forwards. So that's a worry at his price. I think Lacroix will probably score a bit more, Kennedy's a little bit more appealing because he is at 60,000 cheaper and could get off to a big start and make you some money really quickly at the start of the year. But, and I know a lot of people have got him in their team. Personally, I just haven't seen enough. I haven't seen that his scoring ceiling is high enough and he has way too many low games. Highest average of 86 in the past, but that included 190 in that season.
That's the high ceiling you're looking for.
That's right, but even before he got injured last year, the first four rounds, 115, 41, 62, 61, and he relies like he kicks seven in that first game against the Bulldogs last year where he scored 115. Seven goals to only get 115. He's going to have to seriously kick some goals if he's going to score points for your team. And although there's a bit of a chance of that, just way too reliant on goal kicking for me. And so I can see why people would start him. I don't think it's the worst move, especially considering sort of team balance and etc. But he's not in my team.
Yeah, I think with key position forwards, when they're still developing, they tend to go that way. They need to kick goals to get the points. But once they break out, I think even with Tommy Hawkins last year, they get more points just because they're clunking the ball a lot more often and they're a lot more of a presence. So the ball will just go toward them and you're not reliant on them actually converting the opportunities they get to get points. They can actually have an impact in, you know, throughout the whole game because they're a presence throughout the whole game. So I'm probably a bit more positive on Kennedy than you are. Comparing the two, I think Kennedy is the better selection, like Mark, because of his price. With both of them, I do agree with Mark's a lot of Mark's assessment in that he's definitely going to be somebody you trade out. And I agree, same with Lacroix. I've had him in the past looking for him to break out, but get stuck in the 85s because doesn't get enough of the ball outside of the goals he kicks. And when he does, he was getting a lot of handballs instead of kicks, which is weird considering the position he normally plays. So I do like Kennedy better of the two.
And you'd think that with West Coast midfield getting a lot stronger since Lacroix was sort of last in the team, that any talk of him moving to the midfield is probably past any chance of that happening, especially with these injury concerns.
Yeah. But the main reason that I actually like the Kennedy selection, Mark, is because I think that, you know, I do think he's on the cusp of a breakout, whether it's not this season, it's the next. But the main thing is, with one really big game, your price can rocket up. And with a relatively softer draw for West Coast, and with his ability to score 190, of course, he hasn't done that multiple times. But I just think if he can string together a couple of games, or even in a three-game period where he kicks big bags of goals, that'll be enough to shoot his price right up and then trade him out for a fall-in premium or for a good premium that you want in the forward line. So that's why I like Josh Kennedy.
He does have Fremantle Hawthorne in the first two rounds, which might be a bit of a trouble. But then Melbourne, Carlton's known to give up points to forwards, then Port, and then the Doggies give away a lot of points to forwards, followed by Brisbane. So he could definitely go off in one of those games, which is probably all you'd need.
Yeah, and I think, you know, of all the games that have the hard opposition, the first two are the best because they affect the price, you know, for only one and two rounds respectively. So that's good. All right, now to the rookies from these four teams. Mark, we're going to look at Luke Brown, Sam Kerridge, and Brad Crouch from Adelaide. Now, Brad Crouch is probably a no-brainer here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he'll have to be in all teams, just what he's shown over the preseason and his pedigree as well. Whether he starts on the ground or not is probably a tricky one. He's scored pretty well when he's been on the ground so far. So I think if he's not the sub, then I'd probably be starting him in round one against the Bombers. So he seems like a pretty easy selection. Luke Brown is a little bit more difficult, priced a bit more expensive, I think at about 135,000. Had a pretty good preseason with some decent scores there, but also played a lockdown role in the last NAB game that he played. He's competing for a back six spot at Adelaide. Looks like there's a fair chance he'll be given that round one, but there are other people in contention. Don't hate the selection at all, and definitely should be on your list of to consider if he's named. Sam Kerridge, if he's named as well, he being one of the very, very few forward rookies that are around, he could be a good choice. Not going to have a huge scoring ceiling, but he was sort of available last year, so been in the system a little bit longer, so might score okay if he can get games. I think probably least likely out of the three to be best 22. Do you disagree with any of that?
Yeah, no, I don't think so, Mark. I think that's pretty right assessment of it. I was just wondering how you see Luke Brown against the other defenders, the Port boys, and I think Goods and Turlick. They're the main contenders for the backline spots.
Sure. Brown probably similar to on par with a couple of the Port boys, but you'd have Goods, Turlick in front of him, I'd say.
Now to Essendon's rookies, Joe Danaher, Mark. I know you're probably keen to talk a bit about him if we weren't rushing for time.
He's going to be in my Supercoach team in about 4 or 5 years. going to be like Essendon are just nursing this kid to superstardom because we basically had him last year as well because he had signed up a year in advance and has had injuries the year before that. So we're really looking after him. I think he's played half a reserves game and an intra-club over the preseason so far. So I certainly wouldn't be expecting him to play AFL straight up. I think they'll want to ease him in a little bit. So not sure exactly when he'll start, but the Bombers will keep him in Cottonwood for a lot of the year, 154,000 or so. I think there's better options. Coma, there's a lot of talk about him being named, but I'm not sure that he can stay in the best 22, and his scoring over the preseason hasn't been very good, so just think there's probably better options. Kavanagh's an interesting one for me because we've got him at 19, I think, in the draft last year, and he was another one that had big injuries as a junior, and we nursed him.
Steal, right?
We did. It was said to be a top five pick before that, so we really nursed him through last year. And I think we're going to take a little bit of a similar approach this year. We're not going to throw him to the Wolves like we would someone with a bit of a stronger body. So I think by the end of the year, there's a very good chance he'll be best 22 at the Bombers, but might be a little bit in and out at the start of the season. So
hopefully he's not named round one then, and we can get him as a downgrade target later on, because I was looking forward to having him on my team this year when I saw that he wasn't going to get much games last year, but a bit disappointed. He's not coming in straight away, but he'll be a good downgrade target, hopefully.
Sure. Now, who's your tips for this week? Adelaide, Essendon, and Adelaide, mate?
Well, that's tough. I'm probably going to say Essendon.
Can the Bombers,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, just because Adelaide haven't shown great preseason form, and it is harder to turn it on than it seems.
I'm not sure I could tip us, but I'll be obviously barracking pretty hard for the Bombers. Fremantle, West Coast. West Coast haven't shown very good NAB form either.
Yeah, that's a really tough one. I actually like Fremantle maybe for a cheeky top four. So I'm gonna go out on a limb and go Freo. I think they're probably the smoky pick this week.
But even saying Freo top four, you think West Coast might still finish above that?
Yeah, I do. I just think Freo might have the better start to the season because of the injuries that West Coast have.
Okay. I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to tip West Coast.
Sanderlin's out. It's a big one. But so is Kerr and Nick Nat.
Nick Nat is just as big as Sanderlin, surely.
Yeah. Anyway, on to the midfield, Mark. We made pretty quick time out of the starting conversation. So we're going to start off with a bit of strategy talk. So the big decision really is, are you going to run, I think, four rookies, three rookies,
Two
rookies, two rookies and mid prices likely.
Yeah.
So what's your sort of take on it? I think four seems risky, three seems safe, and two means you're probably looking towards some serious mid price value or stacking your midfield.
Well, yeah, I think that's pretty much right, man. There are some cheaper options this year, so I can totally understand why people are going the safe route. And I do think that the safe route is probably like four super premium midfielders and then one of like a Rich Mundy, Fife, Maloney sort of type player with the three rookies on the ground. Personally, I would be recommending a four premium midfield and four rookies. I just think there is a lot of depth in midfield rookies this year, as there always is, and I think there's just no reason to be including a Maloney mid-pricer type, and got to generate some cash from somewhere and to upgrade those midfield premiums. So I think a 4-4 strategy on the ground is the way to go this year.
That's going to rock the boat, Mark. That's a pretty risky strategy that you've made sound pretty safe pretty quickly. But
I don't think it's safe at all, mate, but I think that you don't play safe to win this game. I think that everyone else can play safe and I'll be overtaking them mid-season.
Okay. That's some confidence there. I like it. But I'd probably recommend the slightly more conservative route. I do see some decent value in having a player like Fife or Mundy or Maloney or Rich in that M5 spot. And I think three rookie mids is more than enough. And you can still find other rookies, you know, play other rookies on ground in other parts of the park. So that's probably my tip of the three options. I probably wouldn't go any more mid-pricer than one, and that includes the Fife Mundy type.
I think the issue that I have with that is you bring one mid-pricer into the midfield, you end up having to pick another mid-pricer in another position most of the time. So like one mid-pricer really leads to another, and you end up with sort of three, four mid-pricers across your team because you're trying to be safe and fill those spots with these sort of players?
Generally, yes. Or you could go the one mid-pricer and then try and seek value from your premiums. So go to the lower-end premiums and try and look for value there. Like a few of the boys will talk about Shuey, Scott Selwood. Yeah, that you know, squeezing value out of every other position can often give you enough money to afford one mid-pricer. Probably not a mid-pricer like Fife and Mundy, but you might just get to Maloney. But you, like you said, Mark, that's hard to squeeze out. You're most likely going to pair it with another mid-pricer. But when we get to the fours next week, I think we'll find Karnesis looks pretty good anyway. So.
And you did talk up Kennedy before, so I'm presuming you're not having a huge issue with those mid-prices.
No, you know I love the mid-prices, Mark.
Speaking of value, mate, there was a fair bit of talk after last week's podcast about your man love for Cruiser. Is he actually in your teams after the way you talked him up?
Actually, Mark, after we had the conversation on rucks last week, I have changed my rucks drastically and then changed them again and then changed them again. So just got me thinking a lot and... we did get a couple of responses on the effect of Warnock and Hickey as well on pretty much a reiteration of Mark's counterpoints, and that sort of scared me off a little bit as well. But he's still in considerations. He's probably my favourite straight out ruck, but there's some ruck forwards that I like a little bit more at the moment.
Let's move on to the discussion of some of the players in the midfield now. First one we're going to talk about is Ablett. Is he a lock? There's been talk of him spending 3-4% less time on ground and a bit more time up forward and being at the end of the chains for Gold Coast rather than at the start. How do you feel about all that talk, and does it change your mind of him being a perma-captain lock?
Yeah, my feel with Gary Ablett is like after he starts to slide or after he retires, we're going to look back and go, like, how was he even a topic of discussion? He's just a legend, I think. No matter where he's playing, he's going to get points. Even if they're talking about him, I think the main talk is they don't want him, like, under the packs all the time, which is, like, fair enough. Like, I understand that point, but, like, it doesn't scare me to say, like, oh, no, he's not going to touch the ball as much now. Yes, you're a bit more reliant on the teammates getting the ball to you, but now he's going to be at the end of the chain. So hopefully, you know, kicking the goals, kicking inside 50 rather than going and getting the ball himself. So he did play more of that role at Geelong, and he did average pretty well at Geelong doing that as well. So
slightly better team.
Yes, of course. But absolutely no issue with that. And also, you know, he's probably the number one receiver at Gold Coast, whereas even though he was number one receiver at Geelong, he's still competing against Bartel and Johnson and Chapman and co. So...
Yeah, but I can understand why people are at least challenging the idea of Ablett into their teams, and I think that's a healthy discussion. But considering we're trying to get through a lot of mids, I would lock him in. It's much, much safer to take him in, and he's more likely to turn it on than not. So I'd be definitely taking him. Pendles versus Swan. I guess a lot of teams out there will have at least one of these Pie midfielders because the Pies midfield does score a lot. I guess we could chuck Beams into that discussion as well. Who would you take out of them?
Pretty easy for mine. I think it's just Pendlebury. I was looking at... In fact, I had Swan over Pendlebury for a while, but then once I looked into Pendlebury's scoring and consistency, I was just like, I can't go past them and his age and... There's just a bit more chatter on Swan and just a little bit more off-season stuff. So not to say that he's not going to do better, but I feel much safer picking Pendlebury just on gut feel. So just Pendlebury for mine over Swan.
Yeah, I sort of think it's a pretty easy choice as well, mate. And I'd be going the same way. There's so much talk from Buckley about how awesome Swan's preseason has been, but I don't think that it's coincidental that there was also talk about him not being a committed team man earlier in the preseason. I think that those two things are pretty well linked. So I wouldn't read too much into that. And Pendles has the potential to be complete Supercoach royalty, a Brownlow medal contender. If Collingwood do well and he can stay on the ground, like, he just doesn't need much of the ball to score amazingly well because everything he does is just brilliant. Wouldn't surprise me to actually see him break 130 this year. And I don't think anyone else will do that other than maybe Ablett. So to me, I think he's an absolute lock, but I am actually seeing a lot of teams out there without Pendles. So, I'm hoping they just blast teams away.
Well, next player for discussion actually, you know, gets a bit of kudos because there's a lot of good midfielders that we're going to talk about today, but he's going to be talked about all to himself, Patrick Dangerfield. He's another contender for the Brownlow, I think.
The next Ablett or not?
Yeah, the main reason we're talking about him is because I think apart from Ablett, his ceiling is unrivaled to me. Is that too big a call? Because he can kick a lot of goals and get a lot of touches as well. And he's explosive. Just watching him in the preseason, just literally looked like he can do whatever he wants. And I haven't seen, even Pendlebury, I don't see him doing that. The only other player I see doing that is Gary Ablett. And I know that's big raps for Dangerfield, and he might not live up to it, but to me, his ceiling is so high that he's worth talking like this about.
Sure, but I mean, to some extent, he's also only averaged 118 once in his career. In the three finals that he played last year, he got tagged out and had 73, 82, and 91. Not quite, it wouldn't be as consistent as Pendle's. Had a lot of scores below 100 last year.
But also built up steam, I think, in the second half of the year.
Yeah, but like Adelaide had a great start to last season as well, and he started really reasonably slowly compared to how he finished. So
first season in the midfield, though, right?
It was his first season in the midfield in Adelaide.
A little bit.
I think he has a really big season. I don't see him outscoring Pendlebury this year, but yeah.
Would you even consider him outscoring Pendlebury?
I think it'd be quite unlikely to happen this year. Okay. I think the fact that even though he can get a bit concussed in the games, the fact that he's played 22 years in a row is a really good sign. The one thing that stands out about Dangerfield over the other players is his match-winning ability. Like the game against Sydney last year up at the SCG, I think it was, he just single-handedly won them the game in the last quarter and just contested marks and just willing himself to contests. And it's a very, very rare talent that he has. And Supercoach scoring system loves that sort of player. So if Adelaide play some close games, he could seriously benefit from that. So I don't think he's quite the lock because of his upside, because I think that there was a patch last year where he did score not so well in the middle of the year and could have been picked up a bit cheaper. And that wouldn't totally surprise me if that happened again. And he gets tagged out of a few games a bit anyway. But good pick still, nevertheless.
Yeah, I don't want to give away too much. Right? Nah, he's a lock for mine, Mark, especially with the draw. To me, the fact that we're even saying that it's a possibility he might outscore Pendlebury says a lot about this kid.
You said that.
All right, you said it's highly unlikely. That means the likelihood.
That means
is
it's
there.
Not gonna happen.
What? Oh, come on, Mark. Let me twist your words a little bit. All right, on to the next tier of players. We're gonna split the rest up into price categories, Mark, because there's a lot of players to get through. The next tier of players we're going to look at starts from Jobe Watson and goes all the way down to Trent Cotchin. So that's Jobe Watson, Josh Kennedy, Joel Selwood, Brett Delidio, and Trent Cotchin. Now, all these boys averaged 115 plus last year, with Kennedy averaging the most out of them, 119. And they're all chances to improve again this season. If not, you'd say that most of them would hold. So from that point of view, these are the ultra premiums that we're really talking about, Mark, and they're priced that way. And I'm assuming that considering the amount of good rookies we have available in the midfield and in the back line, that a lot of teams will be stocked with these types of players this year. We shouldn't go into too much discussion about them because a lot of it has been already covered or taken for granted. But any key points that you want to bring out about these guys or your preferences with these guys?
Sure. Now, pretty much with all these guys over 600,000, just pick three or four of them depending on your preference and which players you like. You can't go too far wrong with these guys. I think it's a little bit unfair that you've separated Dangerfield and Cotchin in the running sheet because they're on the same level for me. And I think that the fact that you've put Dangerfield above Cotchin in terms of who's going to be a better player, I think you will be embarrassed by that one day.
Come on, Mark. Look, we've talked about Cotchin before in previous shows. The big problem with Cotchin is we haven't seen a massive upside yet.
Do you know how many times he scored below 100 last year? Three times. One of them was 99, one of them was 98. He has the upside there.
Scored
175 against the Doggies.
Do you remember the last player in that mold, Mark? Mark Murphy, super consistent. And he was a goal scorer to boot, but he hasn't broken out into that Pendlebury range that Dangerfield, I think, might.
Yeah, I think you're underselling Cotchin a bit here, mate. Look, I think that he hasn't shown much in the preseason, but that's not worrying me. This is actually his second full preseason with the club, even though he's played 22 both of the last 2 years. And that is a really dangerous sign for me that he could just go bang over the course of this year. He does have a round 11 blast, so it could be an upgrade target. I think people are just forgetting about Jobe. Like, he won the Brownlow last year. Essendon have a pretty good start to the year as far as midfield points go. Joel Selwood, the fact that Geelong are declining is the only thing that would have me off him. He's still really young. Josh Kennedy, again, has only really shown elite scoring for 1 year, but Sydney have Suns and GWS in the first two rounds, and he's had a great preseason. Lids was just super consistent, played 22, I think, for the last 6 years or something, and has the big ceiling as well. So absolutely, all of these guys are awesome, and just pick whichever ones you like.
Yeah, I think even though I have to downplay Cochin a bit just to match how much you fucking upsell him, I actually do have Cochin sitting in my side at the moment, so I am a big fan of Koch. And I think the main reason for picking Cochin is if you think Richmond are going to improve this year, and based on what I've seen against the top teams last year, I think they're in for improvement. That's why Cochin's in my team. I have him ahead of Delidio personally because, yeah, I just like Cochin's upside more because of his relative youth and time in the system. I like Joel Selwood, but the main reason I'm not picking him is because a lot of us are looking at Geelong forwards, and I don't really want to lock down too much Geelong players because, like you said, like Mark said, they're on the down. So if I'm punting on the forwards, I'd probably like to punt that Selwood maybe doesn't improve as much, because when you pick like three premiums from a team that's not gonna break into the top four, you do lock yourself down to a slice of a certain pie that's not as big as you'd like it to be. And with Josh Kennedy and Jobe Watson, I like them both, but their price point probably has me a bit more wary, because I like to find a little bit of value, and at 119, they're gonna have to improve to Scott Pendlebury type levels to reach that. So that's probably why I'm a bit more wary on them, but I love them as well. So yeah, like Mark said, can't go too wrong. Now to the next tier of players, they're about the 600K range: Mark Murphy, Kieran Jack, Matthew Pritis, and Andrew Swallow.
I've been, obviously, listeners of the podcast would know that I've been a huge Mark Murphy fan in the past. He burnt me last year. He's off my Christmas card list, so probably won't be picking him this year. If the Blues do improve and all the hype surrounding them is actually true, then it wouldn't surprise me that he is underpriced and goes on to average 120 plus, and he's the new captain of the club. And I wouldn't be too worried about the fact he hasn't done much in the preseason, because like, they're midfield premiums, they don't need to go out and do too much in the preseason. He's in his, what is it, eighth season. He's primed for a really good year. I don't think you'd be very upset if you pick him, and he would actually be my top out of those four. I think Pritis could be in for a big year. We might struggle a little bit without Naida Nui around, and would definitely prefer to have him back. Jack's co-captain now, or in his second year of co-captain, he could score really big. I really like the look of Andrew Swallow, and if they had a better draw, I think I'd definitely jump on. But North do have a really tough draw this year, and I struggle to see them making the eight, so that's the only thing that holds me back with them. And again, at this price, they're all really good picks, I think.
Yeah, for me, Pritis and Swallow are probably behind Jack and Murphy by a fair way. Having had both of them in my team last year, just too much of the clearance work that they have to do or either dedicated to do in the side, and I don't really see that changing this year. But just because they're absolute superstars at it, probably two of the best in the competition. And beyond that, their outside play doesn't match quite the levels that the other players in those teams have. Of course, West Coast have quite a potent midfield now, and North Melbourne are building their young stable of outside talent as well. So Jack and Murphy I like a lot more. Murphy, I probably would have picked him if not for the fact that if you looked around 13, you might end up picking four players with the round 13 bye. You've got Abbott, Pendles, Swan, Danger, and Watson in that ultra premium category that we're talking about, all with the round 13 bye, and so does Murphy. So for that position, for that reason solely, he becomes a bit harder to pick. If not, it'd be a lock for me, I think. Kieran Jack, I do like, but probably not as much as Mark. He really excelled in the second half of last season, and the first half was a bit quieter. And so from that
He
point of view, he's a bit underpriced.
loves beating up on the weaker teams, and the Suns and Giants in the first two rounds could mean he could start off with a real bang.
Yeah, I don't think that he's probably in the league one of the best balance of inside and outside running, and just absolutely powers it both ways. So you got to love that about Kieran Jack. Now onto the next tier of midfielders, Mark. We're looking at Judd, Luke Shuey, and Scott Selwood. So they're about 550K, all sitting at 550K.
They are. Judd had a hammy and missed about 4 weeks of the preseason. We've seen him miss some of the preseason before and still score really well. So I don't know whether you'd read too much into that. I wonder who's going to cop the tag now at Carlton, whether it will be Murphy or Judd. We saw that tag go to Murphy a lot more last year, and it wouldn't surprise me if that trend continued. There's ditched the captaincy. He could be in for a really big year, and he was in my team until a few weeks before the injury. He was sort of in and out of my team. Shuey, I really like as an improver. Fourth year, huge risk pick. Like, he averaged 102 last year. Has shown a big ceiling, can beat up on the weaker teams, is a goal kicking mid. There's a good chance he'll be a really, really good scorer one day, and this could possibly be his year. But then again, it might not. If West Coast finished top two, you'd think that he will have done really well. Scott Selwood would probably be my pick of the bunch, though. I actually see him probably having the highest average out of the three. That a little bit older than Shuey, entering his sixth season, played 22 games on each of the last 2 years. He's just slowly increased his average every year. Last year, when he didn't have to tag, he just really dominated games and was shown in Supercoach scoring as well. So as long as he doesn't have to do much more tagging, then I think that he could average the most out of the three. And I think that's probably the biggest factor is the tagging, and he could go on a pretty sick run over a short period. Do you agree with that, or would you have Judd as number one?
Yeah, I'd probably have Judd number one. I agree with you with Selwood's upside, but for me, the risk of him tagging and the unknown because of what will pan out over a long season has him sitting behind Judd for mine. I had Judd in my team for a lot of the preseason and just squeezed out. But to be honest, even the Judd v Murphy one was a little bit tough to adjudicate. So if Murphy's hard to pick because of that, because of the round 13 bye, Judd's probably even a little bit harder to pick because I think I have Murphy slightly ahead of Judd. I love the Judd selection and I think he's going to improve. But to start the season and with the amount of rookies that we have selected and therefore available to select, and therefore the money that we have to select the ultra premiums, I'm probably more wanting to bank the points toward a player that has a chance to average 120 rather than Judd. I think even he has a sixth season, 115 is probably the max that I see him going, and I think he's more likely to average 110 for mine. But just for some reason, Judd doesn't seem. A lot of the young midfielders we talked about last season, even when the game's sort of down and out, they'll still keep running to get the ball and keep scoring points, but Judd's a bit older, he's a wise man now. When the game's not in the balance, he knows to sort of chill out a little bit more. Well, that's what I've noticed a bit, and that sort of annoys me. That's probably the one thing that has me sitting a bit hesitant to pick him as well. But I think he's a brilliant pick, but just not to my taste. I've had him too much in the past. Luke Shuey, I do like as well, but he'd probably sit third for mine out of the three. With Selwood v Shuey, I do think I sit in the Selwood camp, just because I do love his brother Joel.
Great reason to pick a player. May as well start picking them out of hats, mate. So the next three players we want to look at, and these are three players that I'm seeing in a lot of teams, and they are Fife, Mundy, and Rich. Now, this was Fife v Mundy for most of the preseason, and then in the last month or so, Rich has really put his hand up to be added to this category. They're all pretty similarly priced, just under the 500,000 mark. They all show that they could potentially have the potential average 110 for the season. And what are your thoughts there? I think that Fife and Rich are the most likely to cop the tags out of them, and probably the number one tagged player in their team, which worries me a little bit.
Yeah, I think the upside of Fife and Rich is quite obviously higher than Mundy's, just of their draft position and what we've seen from them at such a young age. But Mundy has shown the ability, although it was only for half a season before he got injured a couple seasons back, he has shown the ability to average 120, which is really quite impressive. But given the choice between Fife and Mundy, I definitely lean toward Fife, definitely lean toward the youth and the potential there. Fife is probably a greater injury risk than Mundy, I'd say. He's shown a lot of injury problems, although playing through them, but he's shown a lot already in his very short career. But I think, yeah, Fife ahead of Mundy for mine. Rich is probably a bit tricky because, like you said, Mark, he probably wasn't in consideration for a lot of the preseason. Do like him, but to be honest,
I'd prefer Fife and Mundy over Rich because they do play for Fremantle. And like I said, excuse me, like I said, I do think that top eight is a certainty for them, and they might even push into the top four. So from that perspective, I'd rather the players from those sides than Brisbane, who are a sneaky chance for the top eight, but for mine, still sneaky.
Yeah, I think if you asked a lot of the good super coaches around that, probably a third of them would answer Rich, a third would answer Fife, and a third would answer Mundy as the best player out of these. But coincidentally, we both got Rich last out of the three. I think that I've been trying to split Mundy and Fife as good picks for all pre-season. Fair chance I'll take neither into the season, but I lean towards Fife just because he seems to have that bit higher ceiling. His kicking is poor, but it's such value at that price that it wouldn't surprise me if he averaged 115 over a decent period of time. Just because like he can just really do so much with the ball, and he's only 21, so young, and has so much upside.
I think that Fife and Rich, like you said, you think they're two most likely to be tagged. I agree with you there. But I think because of their natural physical attributes, I personally think Fife is much more likely to beat the tag than Rich. And beyond that, we've seen Rich struggle under tag for a couple of years now, at least. So while Rich has had more practice with a tagger, I do think that Fife's just freaky ability to mark and just his height and speed combination has me liking him ahead of Rich in terms of beating the tag.
Sure. If you're looking for someone to get above 150 in games, you'd be taking Fife out of the three. If you're looking for someone to plod along and score you 110 or so every week, I think you'd take Mundy. I'm finding it really difficult to split those two at the top. But I know a lot of really good super coaches that are taking Rich, so I don't want to speak too poorly of him either because they do have a really good start to the season.
I think, yeah, like you said, Mark, Fife has probably got the bigger upside, but Mundy's more consistent. I think Mundy's more likely to average, 110 than Fife is, but I think Mundy's a lot less likely to average 115 than Fife is, because if that makes sense to you, Mark. I think Mundy's going to consistently get the scores, so he's not going to. There's a less chance that his average is going to be pulled down, but I don't think he's going to get enough big scores to be in contention for a 115 average.
Quite possibly, man. Now, the most talked about midfielder or the mid-priced midfielder all pre-season, and I know we did talk about him on the mid-pricer show, is Brent Maloney, the former Demon. Has he shown anything over the pre-season to make you change your mind and look to go down that track?
No, Mark. I think he's a great selection. It just boils down to team structure. To me, he's probably the only player around that price range, so he wins whatever category he's sitting in. So it's mainly, do you need a player at his price point? If you do, slot him in. If you don't, I'm sure you can probably afford a little bit more and go Fife, Mundy or Rich, or even more and go, some of the ultra premiums that we talked about. If not, you're trying to save money and go for a rookie in his spot. So it just really depends on your team structure. But absolutely, he's a great pick. If you need to spend 350K on a mid-pricer, I think there's none better than Maloney in all parts of the ground.
Yeah, that's probably a fair assessment, mate. It's kind of hard to get a read on his preseason form because he had heaps of clearances and in the NAB Grand Final seemed to play really well, but only scored 62. Yet he had nearly 1.5 points per minute, which was definitely above average. So he has shown a bit of scoring potential there. Again, not in my time, not in my team, just because of structural reasons. But if you are going for that five, mid just five rookies in the midfield, then Maloney is probably not a terrible option.
Well, we got through that in reasonable time, Mark. So it was a rather big show. And I think this is the last one we're going to have before the first rolling lockout, Mark.
Bombers! Woo!
Yeah, so enjoy watching. I just do not like how they've split up the first round, but enjoy your opening week with football, and I'll just have to suffer for a tiny bit more.
Yeah, a little bit of a teaser, mate. Pretty excited for this weekend. So, yeah, can't wait. BJ, first time in the red and black and the real stuff. Very
Any
exciting.
last minute tips before we go off, Mark?
Probably I'd be saving your captains for the following week and just sit out what happens.
Vice captain.
Yeah. I guess you could put it on danger, seeing as you love him so much. But
Yeah.
I'd say Hocking and shut him down. He might score a 20-odd or something.
Yeah.
No, that probably won't happen.
Yeah, so just a reminder that, with the vice captaincy trick, that you might get a second shot depending on whether or not you have a non-playing player for your opening round. Let's say you picked the Stevie J, for example. So take that opportunity if you like anyone for a captaincy score this week. And if not, the only other last-minute advice is remember not to stick too closely to anyone's strategy. Try and pick based on your rookies and the good value that's available, which generally means the rookies.
Follow the Wookiees.
Yeah, and then the rest will fall into place. All the best for the first lockout, and we'll catch you next week.
See you, buddy.